This morning I want to share a message that I've titled Three Questions. And one thing that I think we need to understand is that the Bible is not only full of answers, but the Bible is also full of questions. Questions asked by people who were convicted of their guilt and of their sin. Like, what must we do to be saved? Questions asked by Jesus, whom of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Questions asked by angels, why do you seek the living among the dead? Questions asked by those lacking in faith, here are two fish and five loaves of bread, but what are they among so many? Questions asked by so many. Questions that we can answer, and then questions that only God can answer. Revealing questions, interesting questions, and for today, three questions that I think we need to answer from God's Word. If you have your Bibles, this morning I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Mark. Our scripture is going to come out of Mark chapter 4. Verses 35 through 41 will be the text we'll be going from today. And I'll kind of move around a little bit as we go on. If you want to write it down or keep up, is up to you. Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. God's Word tells us here, that day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was. In the boat there were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Now, before we look at the questions this morning, I want us to set the scene of what we just read. Jesus has just done a full, complete day of teaching. He's worn out and tired and in need of some rest, some little bit of R&R, some rest and relaxation. So he asked to leave the crowd, and he wants a boat to go to the other side, to get a little R&R. And as they're on their way, Jesus is relaxing on a cushion and he falls asleep. Then all at once, nature cuts loose a great storm that even seasoned fishermen like Peter, James, and John had never seen. And hold it right there. I know you all going to understand what I'm talking about here, but don't you know that we cannot stand it, and it bothers us so bad when someone can sleep and we cannot? It does. I was in that position last night. My wife was over there sawing logs, and I could not go to sleep for nothing. And you know what I'm talking about. You're wide awake in your bed. Your spouse is over there out cold, sounding like an old Mack truck climbing a hill. And you just cannot get to sleep. And it bothers us when that person's over there sleeping. But I really don't believe that Jesus' disciples were envious of him sleeping. But they were definitely and certainly afraid. Their fear made them question how Jesus could be sleeping. And I want us to be clear about this and have an understanding of this morning. Jesus' disciples had already witnessed him feeding 5,000 people. And each of them had a basket of fish and chips left over. They watched Jesus walk on water. They watched him cleanse a leper. They are in the boat with God in the flesh, and they think they're going to drown. There is a great lesson to learn right here for you and I. You cannot sink when God is in your boat. Period. You cannot sink when God is in your boat. But fear overcame faith, and the disciples were very afraid. They were right in the middle of the perfect storm, and they feared they were going to die. So what do? They wake up Jesus. What if Scripture had stopped right there? What if it stopped right there? We would say, "Good job, Simon Peter. Way to go, James and John." When life brings a storm, what do? You call on Jesus. That is the things that we need to do. We need to call on Jesus in them storms of life. But the thing is, they ask a question in verse 38. And I want us to consider that to be our first question of this morning. "Teacher, do you not care if we drown?" We read it as a question. It has a question mark following. But what they were really saying or making is a statement here. Disciples were saying, Lord, you must not care if we drown. Lord, you are the one that told us to get into the boat, and you are sleeping as we're dodging lightning bolts. We follow you to only end up swimming with the fish at the bottom of the sea. Teacher, do you not care that we are going to drown? The Apostle Peter came to learn later on how much Jesus cares. He wrote in 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Haven't some of us asked that same question? Lord, do you not care that my family member is suffering? Lord, do you not care that my marriage is falling apart? Lord, do you not care that my child is rebelling? That my joy is gone? That I have chronic pain every day when I get up? Do you not care? We can act like everything in our lives is okay when it's not. Lord, don't you care? Well, go ahead and ask that question this morning. But when you ask that question, be ready and looking and listening for God's answer when he gives it. The answer can be seen in the shape of an old rugged cross. It can be seen in an empty tomb. It can be seen in the kindness shown to those hurting. The love shown to those shunned by society. The answer is yes, Jesus does care. And he proves it in verse 39 of our text this morning. He got up and rebuked the wind and said to the waves, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. Isn't it nice when you can sit in your life and it just be completely calm? You're not bothered by the things that are around you. I love sometimes to just sit at camp, out at camp with no one around and just to take in and just to be quiet and be still and just to see God for who he is. It's nice to have that comfort to know that God's got everything in control. Everything was completely calm. Which brings our question number two. Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? Now I know this is two questions, but the second is just a continuation of the first. They're really one and the same. Why are you so afraid? Do we understand and know that fear is mentioned in the Bible about 600 times, more than any other command that Jesus gave? The one that surpasses all the other is fear not. We must also understand that there is a God-given emotion of fear, one that keeps you and I healthy, both physically and spiritually. A healthy fear can keep you and I alive. There is other things that we fear that are unique to each of us. Maybe you have the fear of falling. Maybe you have a fear of snakes. Maybe you have a fear of spiders. Maybe you have a fear of the dark. Maybe you have a fear of falling on spiders and snakes in the dark. But we all have unique fears that we have in our lives. And this is not the type of fear that Jesus speaks of in this question. Jesus is speaking of the spirit of fear that comes from Satan and not from God. The fear that does battle with our faith. Our greatest troubles will not come from troubles, but come from the fear of troubles. If you allow fear to rule your life, then faith cannot live there. We must understand that if we allow fear to rule our lives, faith cannot live there. When fear knocks at the door of your soul, you and I are to send our faith to answer that door. Where the Spirit of the Lord lives, it's not fear we have, it is faith that we have. The Apostle Paul wrote it, and if you want to flip over there, Romans 1:17, if you want to jot it down. But Apostle Paul wrote in 1:17, Romans 1:17, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. You see, fear and faith send out opposite messages. They both speak to us. The question this morning is, which one have you been listening to? Satan wants us to live in fear at all times. God wants us to live in faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. We're not going to always see what's coming ahead. That's called trust in the Lord. We live by faith, not by sight. Fear says you're tired and you can no longer go on. Fear says that you're too weak to win. Fear says you have given this marriage all you can. Fear says give up. You cannot do it. That's what fear says. But faith comes back and says, we are more than conquerors through Christ. Faith shouts that with Christ, all things are possible. Faith says that we wait upon the Lord. He shall renew their strength and mount up on the wings of eagles. Fear drags your past with you. Fear condemns you. Fear leaves you guilty and hopeless. But faith comes back and says, where sin abounds, grace abounds even more. When fear tries to convince you that your heart and soul are as black as sin, faith comes back and shouts that blackness has been covered in red. And praise God, we are whiter than snow. We cannot live in fear. We cannot listen to fear. We cannot make decisions personally or as a camp or a church body based on fear. Fear spreads like a wildfire. Fear brings only doubt. Fear is like a plague. It can be contagious to those around it. Fear says God has forsaken us. But God says without faith it is impossible to please Him. Faith starts out before you and I know how it will end. Faith drove Moses from the desert into the court of Pharaoh to say, "Let my people go." Faith drove David to face a giant named Goliath, while 40,000 soldiers trembled in their armor. Faith drove Paul and Silas to sing to the midnight hour. Faith can turn the desert into streams of living water. Faith can calm the troubled sea. Faith can remove the mountains of impossibility. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Are you getting my point this morning? Have faith, my friends. Have faith. We live by faith and not by sight. And when you and I have faith, then guess what? You and I can fear not. And that's what we're to be in the Lord. We're not to fear what is going to come or happen in our lives because we have faith. Which brings me to our third question. Our third question this morning, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. This is an interesting question to me, and it comes coming from those that are closest to Jesus. A question that comes way into the ministry, into Jesus' ministry after mountains of evidence and what his disciples have seen. They have testified as to who Jesus is. Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 5, "When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom, as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you, except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I come to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit of power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power." We don't depend upon ourselves for anything. You know, I think sometimes we need to stop and realize that God is really good at what He does. And He doesn't need our help. A lot of times I think we just get in the way of God doing the great things that He's going to do. We hold things up. We think that we can do these things on our own. And we can't. We are guaranteed to fail when we're on our own. But with faith and with God, there is just so much room for the things that can take place in your life if you would just allow God to be in control of that. So today, have faith in God. Trust in God. Where is your faith today? I want to share this last illustration. There was a man named Alex Elder. His belief and his attitude has nothing to do with faith. Alex Elder claims to be the world's expert on useless trivia. He claims to be the smartest man and claims to know everything. Here are some of what he knows. No piece of paper can be folded in half more than 7 times. I know many of you are going to go home and try this. Donkeys kill more people annually than plane crashes. The King of Hearts is the only king without a mustache. The first owner of the Marlboro Cigarette Company died of lung cancer. Pearls melt in vinegar. It is possible to lead a cow upstairs but not downstairs. A duck's quack doesn't echo and no one knows why. The first U.S. president whose name contains all the letters from the word criminal was Richard Milhouse Nixon. The second is William Jefferson Clinton. Walt Disney, the creator of Mickey and Minnie Mouse, was afraid of mice. The reason I mention Alex Elder is not because I am impressed with what he says he knows, but what I do find fascinating is what he doesn't know. Alex Elder is a vowed atheist who claims there is no God. This man who claims to know everything, who claims to be the smartest man in the world, doesn't even believe in God. Unless you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you've been obedient to the gospel message of salvation, then you have missed out on the one thing that you desperately need to know. I think it's a question that we sometimes limit ourselves of asking. Do you know Jesus personally? Do you know Him as your Lord and King? You know, it's easy to go out there and so deny Christ in this world, because that's what Satan wants us to do, is live in fear. He wants us to be afraid of those around us. Don't live in fear. Live in faith. Know that God has got your back, that He will never forsake you or leave you. He's right there with you. He lives within us. And we didn't know that. We need to know that He's with us in every moment of every day, of all that we do and say. Who is this man? Who can this be that even the wind and the waves obey Him? Who is this man who has the power of life and death? Who is this man who brings His own by His own death on a cross saves us from our sins? Who is this man who has been changing lives since the beginning of time? Who is this man, my friends? Today, if you answer that question, I promise you, it will change your life for eternity. If you don't know Jesus Christ, I want to invite you this morning to know Him personally. All I can say is that Jesus Christ and what God has given me is the best thing that I have in my life, by far, of anything. If you sit down one day and just count your blessings and name them one by one, you will be amazed how blessed you are. It's so easy to have self-pity on yourself and to feel sorry for yourself and have the problems that you have. It's easy to find yourself in that category. But one thing you can do is look around the lives around you. There is someone that is a whole lot worse off than you are. And maybe they don't have Jesus Christ. And then they're really worse off. Today, I want to encourage you to stand up for your faith. Fight for your faith. Let people see your faith in the things you do and how you live. Let them know who your Savior is. If you've never made Jesus Christ to be your Lord and King, I want to invite you to do that this morning.
Let's have a moment of prayer. God, if there are those here today that do not yet know You, I pray that they would hear the words that Neil has shared, and that they will turn their hearts toward You. Whatever that means, Father, for each one of us where we are in our lives, God, we know that we must always turn to You. And I pray that You would give us clear wisdom and direction so that we may continually turn to You in every aspect of our lives. I pray that You would be the one that we seek to please. You are the one that we seek to worship. You are the one that we seek to glorify. God, we give everything that we have to You. We are Your stewards. I pray that we will use what we have to bring glory to God. And it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to a message presented at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the Donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111, Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.